I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. If there's one thing we know about climate change, it's causing sea levels to rise all around the world. If you're like me and live near the coast, you might think about that from time to time, or a lot. I mean, am I sitting on future oceanfront property? Am I going to be under the water? Those are still mostly big question marks right now, but the stakes are huge since most of the world's biggest cities are on a coast. A study released today draws on a new database of geological sea level records from around the world.
We now have a pretty high resolution global sea level record going back 3,000 years.
That's Robert Kopp of Rutgers University, the lead author of the study. He says the new database is offering a much sharper picture of sea level change.
Sea levels have always ebbed and flowed, but the 20th century was really extraordinary. We can say with 95% probability that the rate of sea level rise in the 20th century, the 5.5 inches or 14 centimeters that we experienced, was the fastest century-long rate of sea level rise since at least 800 BC, since the time of the founding of ancient Rome. And we can look also at the relationship between temperature and sea level we've seen over this entire time period and use that relation to it to ask questions like what would have happened in the 20th century without the human-caused global warming. Yeah. And we can say from that that it's extremely likely that less than about half of those 14 centimeters would have happened without human-caused warming.
Well, 95% certainty is pretty high. What are the fingerprints you physically look for when trying to figure out, say, sea rise from 1,000 years ago? Like, what are the smoking gun clues?
Some of the best records come from salt marshes, which we can find along the shore, say, even of near Boston, where you are. You can go and take cores of sediments. You go feet into the sediments, and you go through, or have more likely have a graduate student go through painstakingly, layer by layer, count all of the different types of microfossils of a type of organism called foraminifera. And depending upon the types of foraminifera you see, you can make statements about where in the tidal zone that layer formed. And so if you know where in the tidal zone that layer formed, you know where it is now. And if you go and get a date, say, from carbon 14, you can figure out when it formed. And so from that, you can construct a high-resolution sea level record.
So that's the past. What does your study tell us about the future, which, of course, is what we're all really concerned about right now?
Well, if the relationship between temperature and sea level change that's held over the last two millennia continues to hold, then we would say that it's very likely that over the 21st century, if we are continue to burn fossil fuels as a core of our economy, very likely would see somewhere between about 50 and 130 centimeters, about 2 to 4 feet of sea level rise. Whereas if we cut back on those emissions severely, we might end up with something more like 30 to 60 centimeters or about 1 to 2 feet.
So we just had this big breakthrough agreement in Paris that suggests there might be hope for a different future. How big a course do we have to kind of redesign to avoid this catastrophic future with current pollution trends?
Well, so that 1 to 2 foot number for the 21st century, that's based on a scenario in which we basically get greenhouse gas emissions to around zero by around 2070 or 2080. And in Paris, nations of the world set an aspirational target to get greenhouse gas emissions to about zero in the second half of this century. So the aspirations are in the right spot, but we've got to get there.
Robert Kopp, is this the sort of thing that keeps you awake at night?
It does to some extent. I'm actually pretty hopeful. Humans have accomplished a lot of great things in our time on this planet, and I think we have it in our power to get off this fossil fuel intensive task and onto a low carbon one.
I hear that hope from a lot of climate scientists who sketch out these catastrophic scenarios, and then invariably they say they're hopeful at the end. Why is that? You guys are in the eye of the hurricane. You're seeing all the stuff the rest of us don't see. Where does that hope come from?
Where does that hope come from? Maybe it just is my personality, right? But, you know, small steps in the right direction can matter a lot if they're things that can be built upon. I mean, that's the main reason why I'm hopeful about Paris. It's not because of the emission goals that countries have agreed to for 2025 or 2030. It's because the Paris Agreement includes a process for every few years checking our emission targets and tightening them and making new commitments. And making that process work is going to be the key challenge of making Paris be a success.
Robert Kopp is the lead author of a new study on past and future global sea levels. It's published online today in the Proceedings of the National Academies of Sciences. Robert Kopp, thanks very much.
Thank you, Marco.